Paul Thomas Anderson's film There Will Be Blood opens with a stark title slate. Then it cuts to a long shot of forbidding California mountains, sharp as the teeth of a saw. On the soundtrack, the only sound is of dissonant strings rising and swelling like Stravinsky or Arvo Pärt. It's a Kubrickian filmic landscape as unforgiving as the moon. Deep underground in a silver mine, a man is swathed in darkness, illuminated only by a brief shower of sparks as his pickaxe strikes the wall. He is Daniel Plainview, Daniel Day-Lewis, whose very name suggests the intensity of his focus. There's an accident. He tumbles backwards down the mine shaft, landing on his back, breaking a leg. We are sure that the mine will become his solitary grave. But instead, by his own bootstraps, Plainview hauls himself out of the shaft. He drags himself to a smithy who will melt down the silver from the stone he clutches. The dusty, shattered man waits supine, biding his time, for the means to pay a doctor to congeal. You have never met a man quite like Daniel Plainview. Near the middle of the film, he tries to explain himself. He truly hates people, you see. He looks at them and perceives only their potential for venality. He hates the success of others. He wants everyone but himself to fail, and were he to strike it rich, he would use the money so he would never have to deal with people again. This is as selfish and unrepentant a bastard as you will find anywhere on film. He's also a snake charmer. Plainview's deep, dark eyes, careful, unaccented English, and unflowery language put simple farmers at ease. That Day-Lewis is trying out a new accent and a whole new set of facial expressions adds to our sense that everything about Plainview is somehow false. One by one, he talks the farmers into selling him their drilling rights, and soon Plainview owns thousands of acres of land so rich in oil it's literally standing on the surface. He's well on his way to becoming a millionaire if he can just get the oil wells drilled. Well, in the process, Plainview runs afoul of a very young evangelical preacher, Eli Sunday, Paul Dano, who feels his Church of the Third Revelation got a bum deal. Eli is willing to work something out if Daniel will only be reasonable and let him bless the well and recruit some of the oil workers for Eli's church. But Plainview is not a man willing to share power, and his misanthropy is only exceeded by his hatred of religion. It's not enough for him to ignore Eli. He must humiliate him. And in so doing, we suspect that Plainview has sown the wind. Roger Ebert has pointed out that D.W. Plainfield, the orphan adopted along the way by Daniel, is used mostly as a prop to lend humanity to Daniel's sales pitches. But Ebert does not acknowledge that Plainview comes to love the boy. I was reminded of an Indian parable in which a woman comes to her guru and confesses that she does not love God. "Is there nothing in this world that you do love?" asks the guru. "Only my little nephew," she answers. "There," says the guru, "is your love for God." And there is Plainview's humanity, crippled though it may be. I agree with Ebert that There Will Be Blood falls short of the greatness for which it reaches, but I'd identify some different causes. The film's camera work is not careful enough. The score doesn't always work. The spouting oil from a gusher and the subsequent flames are obviously computer-generated. Plainview's brother Henry functions mostly as a second-hand literary device. The bit players did not receive the same attention as the leads. If more than one performance were at the level of Daniel Day-Lewis's extraordinary achievement, and if those technical flaws did not accumulate to weigh down and cheapen the film, it might indeed have broken free of its orbit and become a classic. Even so, it's quite the sight to see. Reviewing movies for WFIU, this is Peter Noble Kuchera.